What's up, sisters and friends? Welcome back to the podcast. I am so excited because today we have real life sisters and friends and my mom on. They've obviously been on Well That's Good a few times and given so much good advice, but today I think you're gonna get a little bit more perspective on our relationship. We're gonna talk about fun stories. Y'all, I keep putting myself in these really awkward positions, bringing on people who know me way too well to this podcast. So it's gonna be so fun. Welcome to the show, Bella and K-Swag.
Hey. This is our first time together.
What a trio, y'all.
Well, no, we did it all for the COVID.
Oh, we did.
We did.
Yeah. We blocked that out of our memory.
I know.
Blocked. 2020's blocked from our memory. Gosh. Yeah.
Well, we were just kind of laughing because Bella's sitting here and she has a new puppy. You want to tell about your little puppy pup?
Yes, we got a new puppy yesterday, and she is so sweet and so cuddly, but she has been quite the hassle.
If Bella just goes to sleep while we're talking, Jacob's been calling her Coco the hassle
because it's like we got her, and like right when we got her, we brought her home, and she just throws up everywhere, all over the rug, and it was just like...
That's such a new dog, though.
She was up all night, and Jacob was like... Yeah. Did we pick the sick dog? I was like, no.
Did we pick the sick dog? Bella gets in here and she's all tired. She's exhausted. And I'm like, Bella, I have not slept in months, almost a year. And I was like, wake up, girl. But hey, no judgment. I've stretched my no sleeping muscles.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
Let's never forget when Bella got the dog at Christmas.
And we literally said Bella pooted on Christmas.
It was rough here, it was a rough Christmas, but it was not my fault, though, because someone decided that they just could not wait, and they had to give it to me 2 days before Christmas.
Okay.
I didn't know I was getting it.
Okay,
But you decided to give it to me 2 days early, and was on 2 days of exhaustion by Christmas not sleeping.
Okay, so backstory. Sadie was moving, and we all felt bad for Bella because Bella had slept with Sadie since she was, like, born.
Our whole life.
They slept together in the same room.
Even when we had different rooms, we still shared.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When we built a new house, we built them different rooms, but... Bella's was basically just like a closet because she never slept there. She always slept with Sadie. And then Sadie was moving away. Yeah. So we were like, oh, let's get Bella a puppy because, you know, she'll have something to sleep with and it'll be so sweet.
I thought you wanted the dog.
I did want the dog.
Okay, no, she did.
No, I just weren't prepared. I was not prepared. And it was like, I got it 2 days before Christmas. So right. I had 2 days of just... Not sleeping. By the time it got to Christmas, I was just worn out and ready for Christmas to be over.
Yeah, she was over Christmas.
I was done with Christmas.
She was like the Grinch.
My Christmas was 2 days ago.
She was the Grinch.
What year was that? Do y'all remember?
2016?
Because that's when I graduated.
It was like right. It was either 2015 going into 2016 or 2016 going into 2017.
Around the same. I think it was 2016 going into 2017 because I think I moved 2017 January of 2017. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I remember the reason I said it is because we were going to make shirts that say Bella pooted on Christmas 2016.
Like, I think it was coffee mugs, actually.
Oh, coffee mugs.
It was that picture of me that was like...
Yeah, there's like a sitting picture couch, of her from like, Christmas, and she looked so miserable.
Every picture of me that Christmas was miserable. It was not just one.
A couple people on Instagram, because I was like, oh, I'm going to interview Mom and Bella today. What do you want to ask? And somebody was like, when does Bella want to have kids? And I think we should just go ahead and say, like, you definitely need a dog to prep.
No, it's not the same. I'm not going to say that's the same, because, like...
You don't think?
No, because, like, a baby, I don't know, your body kind of prepares you for nine months.
True.
Or even if you adopt and you have a baby, I don't know, there's something about a baby, you just look into
the baby's eyes, and you're okay with waking
up in the night.
Your baby. A puppy, it's, like, sweet, but it's also just, like, the annoying overpower.
I think it's true, but I also think Cabo did prepare me for some stuff.
Really?
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. Even just the responsibility of taking care of something.
True.
Like, yes, it's not the same as a baby because you can leave the dog at the house for a few hours and the dog is fine. Like, you can never do that with your baby. But still, just, like, taking care of something, being responsible. But also, like, the sleeping thing, I think it's, like, yes, you love your baby so much and you're okay with getting up through the night, but just dealing with actually just being tired.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't bother me that I had to get up with Honey. Mm-hmm. I love Honey. She's so sweet. I like to cuddle her. But I'm like, holy cow, I have not slept in a long time.
I think Cabo prepared me for all the dogs when I had to keep Cabo that one time. And Teddy was like, oh, like, she normally never does this, but if she does bark, it just means she has to go potty. I was like, oh, okay.
And I said, if she does do that, that means you have to get up with her and take her potty because, like, she doesn't normally do that, which I don't even know why I even told you that. I'm glad I did that.
And I was, well, it didn't really work because I was sleeping and I heard her barking and I was like, gosh, she's so annoying. Just kept sleeping. I woke up in the morning with diarrhea all over my room. Everywhere.
And I said, that was your own fault because I told you if she does bark, that means she's got to go. But yeah.
Well, y'all know my rule. I will keep your babies anytime, any day. They can spend the night. I will babysit. I'll anything. But your dogs,
you will never keep.
I would never think to ask you.
I love, like, our dog, but I don't, like, just love dogs in general, like other people's dogs, even my granddogs.
Mom barely can really dog sit spaz when dad goes out.
I'm good with spaz. I can take care of her.
Mom told me the other day she was throwing spaz the ball in the house.
Oh my gosh. See, this is where I get this from, because, like, Christian always thinks I don't love Cabo as much as him, and I'm like, no, I do love Cabo so much. It's just, I grew up in a household that treated dogs like dogs. You grew up in a household that treated dogs like family, humans. Like human. Yes. Which our dogs were family, but, like, they were the dog in our family, not like a human. Like, you do all this extra stuff for them. And so I have learned, I have adapted. I'm still not all the way there. I still treat Cabo. Cabo was starting to be more human, and then when I had Honey, she went straight back to dog. It was like, you almost got human status, and now you're very much a dog again.
Yeah.
It's just true. Okay, so a lot of people want to know about first year of marriage. Obviously, we've all experienced the first year of marriage. Some was a little bit longer ago. Some was pretty... Actually, you're in your first year of marriage. So we have a current, fresh first year of marriage. I'm... 2.5 years in, so I've just had my first year of
marriage.
That's
crazy. That's
only
two and a half years?
Yes. Doesn't it seem like me and Christian have been married forever?
Y'all lived a lot of life.
4 years.
I was talking to someone the other day, and they were like, Louie, who did our wedding, he was like, y'all been married for 10 years. No way. No way 2 years. I'm like, two and a half years.
I thought you were going to say, like, four.
I thought she was going to say, like, three and a half coming up on four.
We're seasoned.
Yeah.
Well, we have gone through a lot of life together. I think having a baby definitely makes you, like, more grounded in that. And we've traveled a lot and done things together, started stuff, building a house, like doing more adult things now. So that's true. And then your first year of marriage was
30.
Oh, y'all been married for 30?
Yes,
30 years.
It was just 30.
So it was 29 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
I still remember, though.
So, I'm sure you do. All right, so, Mom, why don't you go ahead and start? Because you gave us a lot of advice going into our first year, because you and Dad's first year was, it was a year to remember. One for the books. Words hold so much power, and we've all heard the message that we need to be so careful not to allow lies and negative content into our mind, but it's even more important to put truth in, and we would never be able to combat those lies if we didn't have truth. With all the different social media platforms, we are inundated with so much information every day, but are we making it a point to put God's word in us daily? Just imagine if you could have God's word memorized. Well, now with Dwell Differently, you can. For those of you who struggle memorizing, this is a great way to learn. Dwell is a monthly membership of Scripture Design to help you and your family memorize one Bible verse every month. One verse a month is so doable, but it's so cool when after a while you feel equipped with a whole arsenal of verses stored in your heart and your mind. Members of Dwell will also receive a kit in the mailbox with temporary tattoos, a keychain, and a print. The tattoos are so cool because it's just such a neat conversation starter when you wear one. I've actually got mine on today. I am loving it. We got Deuteronomy 11:18, and it helps you memorize it by having the first letter of each word in the verse on your arm. For me, being readily equipped with the word is huge in combating fears and anxiety. That was the thing that got me through all of that, just knowing the word of God. When I'm laying in my bed at night and Christian is already asleep, or even getting ready to walk onto a stage and I need to pray verses out loud because his word is active and alive and it combats that fear. Which, well, I feel even more empowered to speak the truth into my friends' lives, into my own life, because I know the word. I love when I receive a word that speaks right to my heart in that moment. But what's even cooler is when I make the time to memorize a verse that God allows me to use and as advice to a friend who's struggling. At Dwell, their mission is to help you fix your eyes on God's word and help you write them in your heart. My favorite part of Dwell is that they have members from ages 2 and up memorizing scripture, which is so amazing. Like, honey's not very far from that age. So cool. Guys, this is so powerful, and I hope you check it out at dwelldifferently.com. You'll be amazed at how God can use just one Bible verse to change everything. You can use the code Sadie for $5 off your first month. That's dwelldifferently.com, and use the code Sadie to get $5 off your first month and start learning the word of God in an awesome way.
Now, there was a lot of good and super fun memories from our first year. We went off to college together, and we got our first apartment and our first little house.
Tell everybody how old you were, because this matters.
I was 18.
Yes.
So I was very young. And Willie was 19, so he was very young, too. So neither of us had a whole lot of maturity under our belt at that point. And so I think that probably did play into it, although, like, I'm so thankful that we got married young, because we grew up together, and we had all these experiences. All of our college memories are together, and, you know, we have... getting married young, I don't think is necessarily a bad thing. But I will say the maturity level probably could have been a little higher.
I can imagine mom just not being mature.
I know, you're such a mature person. Now, dad, on the other hand, I seem to be able to picture that a little easier.
I'm given a little bit where I say we were both immature, because really, probably there was a balance there. No, I was too.
Hey, that's a lesson in marriage right there. Everything becomes a we.
That's right. Married, it was we. We were both. That's right. Good. Yes. No, so it was, there was a lot of fun, but it was really hard. Like, we had a hard first year. We fought like cats and dogs. We were both, we both have strong personalities, obviously. If you do Enneagram, Willie's an 8 with a 7 wing. I'm a 7 with an 8 wing. So, like, we got some strong personalities going there. And, that first year of marriage, it was tough. Like I said, it was fun. And I think that's kind of how our life is. Like, we definitely live life with passion. Like things are fun. We go hard. We play hard. But also, we fight hard, too, when we do. Yeah. And the first year of marriage, there was a lot of that. And we came from two really different upbringings. I mean, I always like to say, because I think this is so true, it's like, we had the most important part in common, which was our faith. Mm-hmm. Like, but other than that, there's, like, nothing else that really looked the same within our families. Like, our faith and hospitality. Both of our families were super hospitable, had people in their home a lot, very generous. But other than that, really, you know, there was a lot of how we were raised that was very different. So
I remember telling people whenever I was younger, like, my grandparents are so different. I was, like, one side of my family, my grandparents don't eat meat. The other side kills animals for a living. They're professional hunters and vegetarians, you know?
Yes.
Which they're pescatarians, you know? And so they eat things that swim, but not things that walk or fly, is what Two Bubble always says. Yeah. They grew up, they are, you know, live in a neighborhood, and Pebblefield would call them yuppie because Pebblefield Mama Kay live at the end of the, you know, river. And
they like mow their grass.
And yeah, they mow their grass. Like,
Two Bubble's thing is he doesn't eat anything that walks or flies. And Pebblefield's thing is, if it flies, it dies.
Yeah, if it flies, it dies. Yes. Pebblefield fishes, like professional fishermen. Like, he does, like, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's just totally opposite. And, like, your dad works, like, more of a desk job, and it's, like, workaholic in that way, but not really. We joke that he's a workaholic, but he's clean shaved, all this stuff. And Pebblefield, like, is out in the woods all day, every day. Two Mom and Two Papa probably have a trash bin where they throw their trash. Pebblefield burns all his trash. I mean, just like totally opposite. Yes. In
and Malkay cooked like literally 2 to 3 meals every day.
Like really good from scratch.
My mom has like 2 to 3 meals that she knows how to cook.
Yeah, that's so true. Malkay's like whipping it up from scratch. Two Mom is like, who wants some mac and cheese and some sloppy joes? Yeah.
Spaghetti. She's got that too. But actually, she's been doing HelloFresh, so she's very proud of her cooking skills. She's getting a lot better.
She told me she was cooking something, and I said, well, invite us over. She said, yeah, y'all need to get on our HelloFresh.
Yeah, she's all about it now.
When I was a kid, I remember asking her, how do you make these sloppy joes? She's like, Girl, it's just meat and some barbecue sauce. That's all it is.
She puts butter on the bun. Everybody, that's the extra touch. Everybody loves her sloppy joes. Yeah.
So they're just definitely very opposite.
Very opposite, yes. So I think that led to, you know, a tough first year of marriage. But we figured it out. So
yeah, we did.
You know.
Tell me a little bit about, like, y'all's first year and just even moving back here. I guess that was not your first year, but whenever you lived in the nurse's hut at camp and, mm-hmm. like, some of the arguments y'all are having, because these crack me up, like, y'all were dirt poor. I mean, y'all were, like, arguing over who could get a baseball card that week or a magazine. Like, talk about that time.
Yeah, and some
of the meals that you prepared.
Yeah, so the early days, you know, we were in college, and, like, I went a little bit faster because Willie was, like, trying to work and, like, support us through college, and, but, yeah, we were on a very tight budget. Like, we had all of our money, like, in envelopes. I don't know if that's even, that's not a thing anymore, obviously, because you don't use cash. But, you know, like, all of our money was in envelopes, and they, like, you know, it was food, and it was, you know, each of our budget items. Yeah. And so, like, we would go to the grocery store, really, like, literally, this was one of our fights. Went to the grocery store. We had, like, you know, $3 left out of our food money for the week. And, like, I wanted to buy People magazine. And Dad wanted to buy baseball cards because he collected baseball cards. And so, like, this is like a fight. Like, who gets to buy the one little thing? Oh, and Dad, you know, of course, he's very persuasive. And he's like, yeah, these baseball cards, like, it's a collection. Like, I'm saving money. I'm like, this is going to be a lot of money someday, you know.
Yeah.
I'm
it's like, crazy yeah, right. How much all you and Dad are like me and Jacob.
I know. Literally, I was about to say that.
I was at the airport the other day. I was like, ooh, People magazine. Jacob was like, what is the point? Like, what is the point of reading that? That, like, why would you do that? Like, wouldn't you rather spend $6 on a T-shirt that I can sell for $20? Like,
I guess you sell
so much.
That's,
I'm like,
so funny.
Yes, we always say that. I feel like Dad and I remind ourselves, so like, they remind themselves
do, because Bella and Jake got married when Bella was
18.
You were 18, and then Jacob was 21. Yeah.
A little bit
so
older.
Talk about y'all are in it though. Y'all are in the midst.
Yeah, we're still in our first year of marriage and it's so fun and we love it. But I do see, like, it is a lot of just like learning how to, like, mesh each other's different personalities, especially when you come from such different families. Mm-hmm. We both come from super different families too. And even just like with money and stuff, like the same thing about, like, got our new puppy, and Jacob was like, we don't need dog bowls. We have bowls at home. Why would we need a dog bowl? Like, we already have bowls. Why would we need a dog bed? We have blankets. I'm like, we need a dog bed. We have tons of blankets it could sleep on. It's just like merging those different, like, views, I guess, is so fun and different. But I don't know. It's so much fun. I think
one thing I'm really proud of y'all, and Jacob was talking about the other day, is, like, y'all have put in the time, like, you really invested in pre-marriage counseling, which that was, y'all did that so well, and I know y'all, like, helped them and advised them to go to your pre-marriage counselor and how much that helped you, and then, you know, you've actually put in the time to, like, seek help when you need it, go listen, and really spend time, like, talking through the hard things, you know?
And just being able to be honest, like, when you're going through something, I think helps so much. Like, when we lived right by Sadie and Christian, we would see them every day. It was like, it's not like you can just be in an argument, walk in and be like, oh, hey, you know? Mm-hmm. So, like, we talked about everything. And, like, if we were arguing, we would tell them and they would say what they thought about it, you know? And, like, I think that's so important, just being honest with where you're at and not, like, keeping it all behind closed doors, you know?
That is so true. So it's good. Like, so tempting to just want to keep it behind closed doors because you're embarrassed or you don't want to be wrong, or you don't want people to think that they are, like, you know, you don't want people to see them wrong
right.
in the wrong light because you understand the context of the fight better or whatever. But we have found, like, every time we open up about it to the right people, like, so much wisdom is brought in, like, whether it's y'all or two of our best friends. Like, we had, like, an argument. We were talking about this in the podcast I did with Lainey, but, like, we had an argument with Clayton and Lainey one time. And I was, like, I was, like, so uncomfortable the whole time. I was, like, I can't believe this is happening. But, like, at the end of it, I was, like, man, I'm so glad because we all got so much closer because just being able to humble yourself and accept those arguments and just realize that those make you stronger and they help you realize, like, how each other needs to be loved for the next time.
Yeah.
Learn from them. Christian and I, we, like, had a great start because, premarital counseling was awesome and it was so good. And You know, it's funny because I was like 22 and Christian was 21, which is still young, but to our family, that was older than everybody because y'all like got married at 18 and then John Luke got married at 19 and everyone just keeps getting married so young. And so I felt like I was so mature when we got married. And we had a great start. Everything was so fun. It was awesome. I moved to Auburn, lived with him there. And then when the pandemic hit and we moved back to Western Row is when we kind of started to see our differences. Because before it was like, I think we were just so blinded by love. It was like, everything is awesome. Everything is cool. You're part of a team. And then the pandemic hit and we were like, whoa, like we just do things differently. Like I like to be super busy and he likes to just be more chill. And when we had all the time in the world and you got to create your whole schedule, I realized I'm like, piling it in. I like started college and did all this stuff that was so crazy, and then Christian's like, whoa, like this is our time to chill. And that's whenever like we started kind of having arguments, but man, like you said, we've come to like such a great place and we learned so much about ourselves in that time. Now we respect each other's differences, rock with each other's differences. And I think that that's one thing that I wanted to say to people who are in their first year of marriage and you're learning how to navigate being different than the person you live with, and you're learning how to navigate even living with someone. It's just respecting one another. Yeah. Man, if you respect each other, and you know, you realize that it's up to you guys to create the home you live in. So like, if you want a fun home, y'all gotta be fun people. Yeah. You know, if you want to have fun, go do a dance video, go outside, throw the ball, like do something fun. Or if you want to have a peaceful home, then you gotta create peace in the home. Like turn on some worship music, have good conversation, invite people over. Like it's up to you guys to create that, and respecting each other and hearing each other's differences and not making the other person have to be like you, or the other person not making you be like them, is such a huge thing, because then you can both live in the fullness of y'all together as one. And that's why like I love that verse, like two are better than one, for they can help each other when someone falls, or they keep each other warm. But a lot of times I think when people get married, they're just like, oh, we're one. And yes, that's true, you are one, but you're still two people who make one, and you being who you are individually is what makes one awesome couple. You know, that takes a little bit time.
When you and said go ahead,
I was just gonna say, I think too, just like on top of that, like just understanding like what the other person needs and like maybe like why they need that, you know. And like I think just talking through like, look, I'm not trying to be like, like how you said, like you like to pile on the schedule. Like Jacob loves to like go do stuff all the time. And like I like to just like maybe have more time at home and just like be with us sometimes. And I think just like talking about like, look, like I'm not trying to be like a recluse and stay at home all the time. I just like time to spend with you to talk, you know, that's all. It's not like anything. I'm not trying to like cramp your style, but you know, just, that's just what I like to do, you know? And so, like, now that he understands that, like, we do both, you know?
Right, yeah.
What?
I know. So, what you said, like, recluse? It sounded like you said recluse. You're like, I'm not trying to, did you say, I'm not trying to recluse?
No, be a recluse.
Be a recluse.
You can say it either way, recluse
I've
or recluse.
I've never heard that before.
I think you can say it either way.
I've never
Somebody
heard
look that up.
Well, I'm sure the people
recluse
will tell
us. Recluse or recluse.
The only person that I've heard that word from though is Mom. Okay, so.
Well, you know. That's scary.
I would not bet on that being right
there. If MLK pronounced it one way, you might want to Google
look
that
it up.
One. Yeah.
Look it up. Like, if he said like Memo Joe, I'd be like, okay, yeah, Memo K.
A recluse? I yeah, I don't know why that just
I
got
actually
me.
Think I say recluse.
I think you do too.
Well, you also say orange. Orange.
That's true.
Orange. For orange.
It was
orange.
Orange.
And ranch.
Orange.
How do you say
ranch?
Ranch? I say that
ranch.
Normally.
I think it's
ranch.
Very country.
Ranch?
Dad makes fun of how I say breakfast, too. Is breakfast, is that weird?
No.
You say pillow.
I say pillow.
I do say
too.
Pillow.
I've had to work on my pillow.
You know what you always laugh at me
right.
for?
What?
Catch.
Catch, you catch. Do, yeah. It's like very proper.
Formal.
Because you say everything
catch.
Else very country, then you're like, let's play.
Remember catch. When I was like, I said Jacob was a catcher, and you were like, a catcher?
I was like,
catcher.
A what?
Okay, no, this actually got me. So whenever you and Lainey were doing like cousins, uh-huh. I saw some of the comments and someone said, Sadie sounds like Boss Hogg's wife. And that's when you were doing your cousin voice. So yes. I was like, oh, I've got to work on my accent.
That is
so funny.
That's hilarious. Oh my gosh.
That's terrible.
Yeah, well, I'm sure y'all are all laughing at us making fun of each other because we probably sound country
all
to every single person.
Yeah,
I
have the accents. Listening. Yeah. So I want to go back to respect because when you said respect, I was like,
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
There you go. I was like, I do want to highlight. I feel like a highlighter on that because I do think that's so important. Whenever you respect one another, you care and you truly care about the other person's feelings and the other person's likes and wants and desires and dreams and all those things, then it makes a huge difference. I do think it's important. I think it's great to fight it out. I think it's important. Like, you're living together. Yeah. You need to, like, negotiate how you're going to do this life together. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, you know, couples that are like, oh, we never fight, that actually kind of scares me because I'm like, oh, there's somebody that's, like, actually not saying their piece in this in this environment because there's no way you can just totally get along all the time, you know? So I do think it's important to do that, but you have to do it with respect. And I think one thing I always think about, too, it's like that, you know, the idea of, like, treating others as you want to be treated, too, I think is so important because, like, we can, if, like, I say something to Dad, like, sometimes I think about, oh, if I turn that around, if he said it like that to me, how would I feel, you know? Mm-hmm. And if you can do that and put yourself in that position and be like, okay, how would this sound if he actually said what I just said to him in the tone I just said it to him, if he said that to me, how would that make me feel? And how would that sound, you know?
It's true.
And I think sometimes we don't even think about that and how we treat one another. So
that's so true. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about what Pastor... This is what happens when you get three of us in a room. We're just going to bounce off each other. But I love what Pastor Tom said the other day when he was talking about, like, humbling ourselves and not being prideful. And he said, pride is the one disease that makes everyone sick but the person who has it. And I was like, ooh, that is so true.
That's a really good
and
one.
Especially in marriage. Like, you know, whenever you're prideful and you're like, I didn't say it like that or whatever. Like, you're, like, hurting that person so bad, you know? And it's, like, just takes – and normally when you're saying that, you do know that you said it like that. I'm like, you're just trying to stick with it. Like, no, I didn't. you're being sensitive. It's like, no, you're being prideful. Like, humble yourself, you know? Uh-huh. And, man, I just thought that message was so good and so convicting.
So good. That was really, I love that. I wrote that down because it is so true. It's like, whenever you are prideful, you probably is when you don't know it. That's when you really have the blind spot, you know? Yeah. It's actually making everyone else sick. It's not making you sick because you don't even realize it about yourself. So, I think, you know.
You gotta listen to your people.
That's right.
And that's why your people got to be honest with you. That's why if you haven't had an argument with, you know, your spouse or your family members, like, you know, you might not be able to learn. You might not be growing in some blind spots or some weak areas. So that's why it's so important to, like, have the hard conversations, even though they're hard. Dive in, even when you don't want to, because the next day, like, you're so much stronger. And gosh, if Christian and I wouldn't have had arguments that we had, we would not be at the place we are now. Like, we're so healthy now. We're in such a good marriage. We know each other so well, and that would not have happened had we not gone through some tiffs here and there. What were you gonna say, Belle?
I was gonna say that I think if, which you touched on this, but if we all thought about one thing we've all learned, I think we've all learned that tone is important.
Oh, that everything. Is so great. Tone is everything, y'all.
The tone.
Yes. We talked about that when y'all were kids a lot, too. Like, I cannot handle the tone. Like,
how many times does Sadie say like this to Christian? No hate to Christian, but how many times do you say, watch the tone?
Sadie
always says, watch the tone.
Yeah.
I always say, watch the tone. Or I say, if you had a mirror,
yeah,
you could see.
Yeah. That's probably come from your childhood, too. Yeah. Because, like, tone, it really does
so
matter.
Many times
it makes you can say the very same thing, but you say it in a different way and in a different tone, and
I know.
It hits different.
So many times I tell Jacob, I'm like, if you would just calm it down and say that in a nicer way, like, I would accept it and be like, that's totally fine. You can say that. But when you say it like that, it just...
More than half our arguments are about the tone. Seriously. Yeah. And it's not just him, it's me too. It's the tone.
Uh-huh.
But whenever we were growing up, what were some of the stuff that you had to get onto us for? I already know what you had to get onto me for. I'm just exposing myself on this podcast in here.
Some of the things. Let me think.
I remember. I'm like specifically remembering the time that you spanked me whenever I was like
sassy
10 years old.
Yeah. I think you were like 9. That was like the last time I ever, it was shocking to me even, but like you sassed back and I think it just shocked me so
I was wearing my cheetah girl hat.
You were feeling really sassy. You were feeling yourself that day.
I was.
We were outside. I remember that at that our old house and you sassed back and I just went, wow.
I just popped me in the butt, and I turned around and said, did you just spank me? And you're like, yeah, for that. For
yeah.
All that sass. Yeah. You need to tone it down.
I was on the phone with Dr. Eamon the other day, and I did not even mean to say this, but he was like, I know, like, you've said, like, you're, because he was telling me I need to talk back to my brain, and he was like, I know that, like, you've said, like, your brothers talk back, and I went, and my sister. And I did not even mean to say that, but I'm like,
oh my goodness.
Was talk back too?
Oh man, I remember that's like whenever funny. I would like talk back to you, and then it, you are a sitting duck in that moment. Like you know, I'm about to get it, but I cannot reel it back.
It's
so it's like you
want
to like take a remote to life and be like rewind 15 seconds. Like that did not just happen.
It's coming out. That's hilarious.
I have channeled that though.
You have no. What it was. Like, it made you part of who you are. Like
it
yeah.
Did. I've channeled that.
I feel like I don't remember that stuff because I do feel like there is parts of it that. As a mom, you do look at it and you say, like, okay, this is something that, like, needs to be, like, channeled and worked, but also as part of them that's going to make them great as yeah. they get older, mm-hmm. you know?
Well, that's a good point because I remember when I was little, I was sassy and dramatic and but dramatic and, like, not, like, drama. I was not into drama. I hated drama, just dramatic in my storytelling, dramatic mm-hmm. when I fell. Like, mm-hmm. I always had a bandage wrapped around my ankle for no reason other than I thought it was cool and I had a limp to go with it. Like, I just was dramatic in personality. And then, you know, people, like, in our family, like, siblings will make fun of me for being dramatic and stuff. And then I got insecure about it. And then one day recently, I had an epiphany. Remember, it was in when we were on vacation, and everyone at the table was saying that I was so dramatic, and I was the most dramatic of the siblings. And I was like, yeah, you know, that used to really bother me, and that embarrassed me. But now I've realized, like, that is something God gave me. And with what mm-hmm. I do and doing podcasts and doing Instagram and doing YouTube and speaking and telling stories, like, that is, like, a gift. And that's you did help channel that in my mm-hmm. life. Because there was a negative side of that at one point, you know, where I did, like, always fake an injury. And that's just annoying. Or I did, like, sass back or sometimes embellish stories, 95% true, you know. And, like, y'all had to, like, definitely channel that. But it's come to, like, a good place.
Yeah.
Like, Krishna and I talk about that all the time with Honey, and she's only 1 year old, but we always talk about, like, what are the things in her that might seem like a negative, but that we can just really help mm-hmm. her become a positive. Like, even just, she is, like, already so crazy and wild, but we're like, man, what an awesome thing. Like, she's so active. She's going to do so many great things. And just speaking out, like, all those mm-hmm. good things that this is going to become, even though we know in the next 15 years, it'll be some hard moments. So, I think that's
so good. Yeah. Well, Bella has like she's got like a quiet stubbornness. And whenever she was young, she really like, I mean, she knew what she wanted to wear, what she wanted to, she had her own ideas about things, but it was very quiet and kind of subtle. But I knew it was there kind of like under the surface, but it makes her who she is. She's not going to, if you can't pressure her into doing something she doesn't want to do. She won't do it. She's just, she has an inner strength about her that, you know, as a child sometimes came out of stubbornness and she would drive me crazy because literally, like, this girl would not wear shoes. Like, I'd put her shoes on, we'd get where we're going, her shoes would be off and then thrown in the back and I'd have to go find them and put it back in again. Like,
and
she
let's
just had.
Not forget the eyeliner face when everybody told her it didn't look good.
When she. Like, 7th or 8th grade, she started wearing makeup, and she did liquid eyeliner. And it was
bad. Say, Sadie and all her friends were doing liquid eyeliner.
I know,
so
but, like...
I was not pulling it out of nowhere. I was seeing
it. But...
And I was trying to copy.
But Bella's was,
our
like...
Our family's honest, though. Like, if your eyeliner's bad, we'll say, like, mm-hmm. hey... Like,
well, I was gonna
you
say,
need some
you
help
said,
on your eyeliner, but Bella would not accept any help. We're just like, all right.
It was like, okay, so when you wear liquid eyeliner, like, this
it has
is...
to be perfect.
It has to be perfect, but it also has to touch the lashes, okay? That's what... That's where the liquid eyeliner goes. Right above the lash line, but not above it, like almost on the lash line. Bella's liquid eyeliner was right like above the lash line, so it wasn't connected to the lashes. It was just a squiggly line.
I could not figure it out.
Close to mid eyelid.
I will say, One side would go all the way, and the other side would stop right there.
You never did the wing, like the angle. It was just like a trail off.
I still can't get it.
You don't need eyeliner. You don't. Your eyes are so pretty. Yeah. You don't need it.
Well, I was gonna say. You said you were dramatic, and I was going to say before Mom even said I was silently stubborn, my silent dramaticness when I ran away.
Bella was dramatic.
Bella's our only child that ran away.
Bella ran away.
Yeah. Granted, I only made it to
a total of 100 feet.
Yeah.
Bella ran away from home one time, and it was very dramatic.
Yes.
Why, I don't even know why you ran away, but you were like, I'm leaving.
You don't remember?
No.
When I threw the ping pong battle at the door because y'all were... wrapping my Christmas presents and y'all wouldn't tell me why you locked me out of the room.
That was connected. That was the same day, I think.
That's it.
So Bella gets mad, runs
away. That's the only time I've ever been that mad, I think.
To the front yard and says she's not coming back. And so I, at the time, was reading Twilight, which I kind of only made it 10 pages in, and I had been reading it for a long time.
And I was, too long to be only 10 pages in.
And yeah, I was
not ready for Twilight.
I know, and I was like... Bella, come back. And she wouldn't come back. So I went outside with her and took a chair. I think it took her a lawn chair and the Twilight book.
And some lemonade and a sippy cup.
That was really sweet. I wish I had an actual picture of that, but I have a mental picture and it's so sweet.
That's a sister and a friend.
She sat out there with her when she was running away from home. Yeah, until Bella was ready to come
back. My plan was only really to make it to Uncle Bill and Aunt Carol's, but I couldn't get there. I thought I walked so far. I was in the driveway. I was so far away.
My driveway wasn't, like, super long.
But no. Bella really rarely got in trouble. I think she had... Yeah. Will was only 10 months older than her, and, like, he...
Will took the cake.
Yeah, he got in trouble so much. Bella saw that and was like, oh, I'm just gonna... Just kind of fly under the radar. Yeah.
Me and John Luke were, like, troubled together. We were so annoying to each other. Mm-hmm. Actually, in my next message I have coming up, I'm talking about when John Lake used to go, I'm not touching you, I'm not touching you, I'm not touching you. And it was just like, so
Will
annoying.
Used to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Will used to do the same thing.
Like,
and just
close.
And he wouldn't even say, I'm not touching you. He'd just do the.
Oh, yeah, that's the worst. Yeah. Like, because then he wouldn't say it, and you turn around in the car, and then he'd be like, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Oh, man. Okay, before we end the podcast, we got to talk about body image, because a lot of people sent in questions about body image, and you've walked with us on body image. You've also walked through your own self of body image. And I think Two Mama, the goat, has some great advice that she told you one time about body image.
Well, I don't know. This wasn't specifically body image, but this was just something that I think really shifted my perspective. And I was like middle school. Mm-hmm. And I'll just never forget it. Like, I remember her saying it, and it really impacted me. And I think it helped me a lot, honestly, to not struggle as much. I mean, of course, I think every... woman, girl struggles with their looks, appearance, everything, but at some point, I was like middle school, I just started kind of like wearing makeup and getting very much into like how I looked.
Were
and
you
like
wearing the liquid eyeliner?
Not liquid, that wasn't, but smoky definitely eyes. I had to have the like pink, like shiny pink lipstick, the powder compact, you know, all the things in my purse, like carrying it to every class, you know, all that.
The compact powder.
Okay. Oh, yeah, you know.
One thing about the eyeliner that I think I should have said was that I wore the eyeliner one day for school pictures, and my friend, not so much friend, in class, was a boy and leaned over to me and said, "What is wrong with your eyes?"
And I was, she's never done
and he said, "Why are you wearing this?" And he said something like, he told me that it looks stupid, basically.
Wow.
And I never wore eyeliner again.
That's awesome.
Okay, so well, you had all your stuff.
Okay, so yes, it was definitely that phase. The hair had to be just right. Everything had to be perfect before I would go out. And so we were on like a road trip, and we stopped at a gas station, and I needed to go to the bathroom, but I wouldn't go in because I wasn't like ready. And I'm like sitting in the car, I was like, no, I can't go in. I don't have my lipstick on and my hair done or whatever. And my mom looked at me and she was like, if you think other people are thinking that much about you, then you are sadly mistaken. Like, no one's thinking about you. No one's looking at you. No one's noticing you. And it was just, like, this epiphany for me. It really was. Because thinking of, like, You know, it's so true. Like, everybody's worried about their own stuff. Nobody's really looking at you that closely.
Yeah.
I mean, I got Invisalign yesterday. Are you noticing my
noticed it because you told me and I haven't looked for them.
Yes, and my teeth are really sore today. But my mouth is so, like, all torn up. But
way to go.
Thank you.
Getting Invisalign.
I know. So, which, I mean, you know, it's I guess it's one of those things that's like you get older and your mouth starts moving and I'm like, okay, should I get braces? I don't know if I can do the braces thing at this age, even though I admire people who do, but I don't know if I can do the braces, so I'm going with the Invisalign. We'll see how that works. But anyway, I just remember that and thinking like, you know, I am thinking way too much about myself. And so like sometimes whenever we talk about like body image and stuff like that, and it's like, this is like, we talk about how it being like a insecure thing, and we're very, but actually we're really like, it's actually kind of a thing where you're thinking too much about yourself.
That's
not that you're not thinking enough about you're actually thinking too much about yourself. Yeah. You're spending too much time on all the little things about yourself that nobody else even notices or cares about or is worried about. They're worried about their own cellulite or whatever. So I think that that really did shift it, and really had an impact on me. And so, you know, I think, like I said, everyone struggled does it to some extent. I mean, you're picking out your flaws to some extent, but I do think every time I just have that memory in my head, I'm like, you know, I'm really thinking too much about myself.
Yeah,
nobody
true.
Cares.
That's
yeah.
true.
Uh-huh.
You want to go ahead?
Yeah.
Someone sent in a question today, and they said, "How do I make myself think that I'm beautiful?" And I think that, you know, for a long time, I probably thought like that too. Like the way she formed that question, like, "How do I make myself beautiful?" And how do I make myself was like buying all the skin products or getting all the like the latest makeup or buying cute clothes or working out or whatever it was, like, to make myself think I'm beautiful. But I think that you have to redefine your definition of beauty or ask yourself, what is beautiful, you know? And I think when you have this idea in your mind that beautiful is a certain size or a certain weight on the scale or it's a certain makeup look that you're going for or whatever it is, a certain hairstyle, then you're never gonna be beautiful, confident in that beauty, because that beauty is always changing, because there's always gonna be someone who did it better. The next day is a new trend, but whenever you redefine beauty to what beauty actually is, and for me, like, beauty is being made in the image of God. That means what I have inside of me is so original and unique to the world that if I don't be me, no one gets to see this beautiful side of God, you know, that He's put in me. And so the more confident I become in the image that I'm created in, that has really nothing to do with body image. It has more to do with, like, the actual image and personality that I have. I think the more beautiful you become, and confidence is beautiful. Like, joy is absolutely beautiful. When someone's peaceful and loving, that is stunning. Like, some of the most beautiful people just bleed through their personality, you know? And so really just redefining, like, what is beauty? It's not this image that you're not gonna obtain. It's the image that's already in you.
That's right. That's good. My mom Jo used to always say, "Pretty is as pretty does." She said that her mom used to say that to her, and she said that to my mom, and my mom said it to me, and I said it to y'all, you know, like, what is beautiful is coming out from the inside. It's not it's not what is what you see on the outside. One thing too, I remember when y'all were little and you act in bad behavior or whatever, I'd say, well, don't act ugly, you know, and I hadn't ever thought about necessarily what that meant or whatever, but now that I look at it, you know, we'd say, like, oh, you're acting ugly, or she's, you know, or whatever. It's like the idea that's like, what ugly is not on the outside. It's how, you know,
it's
what
attitude,
it's your attitude, how you act or whatever. And what's pretty is the same. It's what's on the inside. What's beautiful is what's coming in from out from the inside.
That's
true. And of course we live in this world, and, you know, we, of course, I got gray hairs that I cover with hair color, and, you know, I want to look nice and I want to be presentable, but I don't want to spend all my time thinking about that. I don't want to spend, waste my life thinking about what I look like or thinking about something that is just going to fade away. You know, I want to spend my life thinking about other people and serving and living the life that God calls for me, not worried about what I look like all the time.
Yeah, that's good.
And I think one practical thing, too, is, like, I know me and Sadie have both gone through this in, like, the past years, and I'm sure Mom when she was younger, but, like, I think as a woman, like, we go through, like, seasons and, like, whether it's our fault or not, of, like, different, maybe different sizes or different weight, and, like, we do fluctuate. Like, we're not always going to be the same, but I think sometimes, like, when we are maybe like heavier than we usually are, we get so focused, like, I am this way or whatever, and like, this is me, but like, we don't realize, like, this is like fleeting, like, mm-hmm. we won't, like, this isn't forever. And I think sometimes I'm like, oh, why am I like this, da, 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 what am I gonna do, you know? It's, and it's like, out. This is just like a season, like, I'm just, because I've gained a couple pounds right now doesn't mean this is forever.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it has anything to do with me and who I am. Like, this is fleeting, you know? And I think that's something we can, like, practically think about. Like, sometimes I'm, even right now, I'm like, oh, what am I, you know? And sometimes I'm just like, no, like, chill. Yep. Like, it's not forever. Like, this is just a season, you know?
So true.
And I think, that was like, obviously, we have to watch ourselves from, like, being unhealthy, but, like, also, we can just, like, notice that, like, sometimes it's just for a season, and, like, sometimes you just, I don't know, things change, you know?
I think, like, whenever I used to have a lot of acne, and I was, like, so stressing out, kind of, like, this seasonal thing, and I was just, like, what can I do? I gotta fix it, and that's the only thing that I noticed when I looked in the mirror. I thought about it when I was talking to people. I would think that they're looking at it. Of course they're not, but I remember one time, Mom, you're like, stop buying products. Mm-hmm. No more masks, no more facials, just stop. And mm-hmm. I was like, no, you don't understand, because if I stop, then it's gonna mm-hmm. get worse. And you were like, no, you're making it worse because of how much you're stressing and how much you're trying to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I stopped. I started using your stuff, Naturemedics, ayo. And it cleared up.
Yeah.
It fixed. And I was like, wow.
I think we can do that with food, too. You know, like, the more you think about it, the more it's consuming your mind, and what you think about, it's like,
stress
becomes you,
everything.
You know?
Stress affects your weight, your acne, your everything, mm-hmm. you know? And, like, the more we stress, we're actually making it worse for ourselves, you know?
Totally. I think that, like you said, you have gray hairs, you cover up, and you still have Invisalign, and you're doing things to be beautiful, and, like, me too, like, I love, like, clothes, like, mm-hmm. that's something that, like, I actually like to express myself in. I like to buy cute clothes. I like to get up and do my makeup in the day. I know a lot of girls don't like it. I actually do. I think it's fun. I like to fix my hair. I like to, you know, see what's trendy and all that. That's not a bad thing, but if that's my priority, mm-hmm. or that's what that's an idol in my life that I find mm-hmm. any kind of contentment in, see, that's whenever I think it gets unhealthy.
Right.
But when I'm prioritizing who I actually am, mm-hmm. all the other things become fun. It's like, oh man, like, now I get to try out this skincare line, or now I get to, like, buy these clothes, and I don't care if it's on trend or not, because I think it's cute. And, like, when I feel beautiful on the inside, then, like, beauty shines on the outside. But there have been times where I might have looked beautiful on the outside, but I just didn't feel it at all on the inside, because that was my priority. And that's what I talk about whenever I used to model, and I was, like, walking the runway, and I just did not feel beautiful at all, because the mm-hmm. inside of me was hurting, or the inside of me wasn't in a good spot. And so, man, you can be walking in a runway and not feel like you're beautiful in New York, or you can be, man, chilling out with your friends and feel beautiful, because it's who you are.
Yeah.
You know? I think that's a good thing to note. You know, you're not going to get to a place in life that you're going to say, like, that would make me feel beautiful. Mm-hmm. You have to get to the place in life within yourself that just is like, I am who I am, and I'm content with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, good conversation, y'all. Snap, snap, snap. Good stuff. Well, guys, I hope that you enjoyed listening to this conversation. These are conversations we have all the time, really. We talk a lot. We truly are best friends. My mom and Bella are two of my best friends in life, and I think that is a gift and a great thing. The other two people I see pretty much every single day, and it's fun to get to talk and let y'all listen in. I hope y'all learn some stuff, and just know, like, even that first year of marriage stuff, maybe you're not married yet, maybe you're in college, but hey, you got some roommates, and all that advice applies so much to just relationships in general. When you respect people, when you honor people, when you make things fun, like, life is just more fun. People feel more love. And so take this advice, run with it, and just know you got some sisters and friends cheering you on.